My name is Adriana LeBlanc, and I came today mainly to tell the story of my father, John LeBlanc, who passed away in 1991. I was 19 years old, and it was a time when there was still like a lot of stigma around HIV and AIDS, and basically, yeah, I don't. I think, like, why I came today is because I felt like I haven't had a chance really to tell the story, I guess, and to talk about my dad and to talk about, I guess, like his, maybe what he meant to the community. Like, I felt like what happened was, because there was so much stigma and shame around HIV/AIDS, and it's almost like it was kind of like we couldn't mourn, we couldn't grieve, we couldn't talk about what happened. And I kind of felt like he kind of got erased in a weird way, which I think, I don't know, like, I guess it may maybe. Maybe that's a little harsh, I don't know. But, and maybe it's just a reflection of my own sort of experience of grieving mainly in isolation. For all I know, like, all his friends in his community may, there may be like a legacy that I don't even know about, because I was, separated, being the daughter, like being a child, right? Like, I was 19, so I wasn't a child, but I was pretty young. So, but I kind of felt it was like his story didn't get told, it kind of got forgotten. And so I guess I'll tell a little bit about like who he was. He was, I guess, born in 1947, a very small rural community in northwestern Ontario. And I often think about what it must have been like, growing up knowing that you're not, a heterosexual, I don't know, for lack of a better term, like a little different or queer, or I don't even know like what that must have been like for him, like, in the 50s in northwestern Ontario. And I can just imagine how challenging it must have been. So I think about like in 1991, it was like we couldn't even, like, this, I guess this was this these were the things that were so painful. It was like we couldn't write the cause of death in the Toronto Star in the obituary, because his parents were so worried that, because people would read the star up there, and if they saw the cause of death, that then they wouldn't buy, his brother's beef, for example, right? Like, and I'm not saying that they didn't have a right to have that concern. I think it was quite legitimate, given the climate up there. But as I said, it just kind of like it caused like an enormous rift in the family. It's like we couldn't, we couldn't talk about it. And I think, I think back on it, like it was like, like his parents, my grandparents, passed away a few years later, and we were still arguing, like me and them, about, because he died without a will. He didn't really let his wishes be known about what he wanted to have happen. So, and I was like young and idealistic, and I was sort of like, they'd like bought like some like plot up north, with little Christian crosses, and I was sort of like, he was a gay man. Like, I don't think he'd want this. Like, this is ridiculous. And, looking back on it, he might have been okay with it. Because I think he wanted to make his parents happy. That was a part of him too. But at that time, like, I couldn't, I was just I couldn't do it. And this is the thing, you know, now I still have like his ashes like sitting on my sideboard, you know, 30 something years later. And it feels like a bit, I don't know. I shouldn't be judgmental towards myself, but sort of like, it's like, what the heck? Like, how did this happen? And I guess maybe that's part of it, is around trying to sort of like, to talk about this, to kind of figure out if I can find some peace with it too. So I'm kind of like jumping around. You know, he met my mother in art college, I guess in the 60s. Kind of realized very quickly, I think very shortly after he got married, that he didn't really want to be married. I remember he told me like years later that he actually had seriously considered running away with his best friend to Mexico on the night of his wedding. I'm not sure if he should have told me that story, but at the same time, it's just kind of like, you know, I think he knew in his heart that this wasn't really what. But he was doing what was expected of him. And once again, as I said, I think there was a part of him that wanted to make his parents happy. So, you know, so he ends up like, you know, getting married in 1970 and having like two children like quite quickly. Like, and then I think before I was born, he basically told my mother that he was gay and didn't want to be married anymore. And then, you know, so I kind of, my memories of my dad are kind of this, like, you know, this free spirit, kind of, you know, like eccentric gay artist. You know, he had like a, like, you know, I remember him living in sort of like these like hippie commune kind of places in Little Italy when I was like very small and visiting him. And then but he also had this connection with Northwestern Ontario, and I would go up there every year and spend time up with my family up there. So that was a big part of him too. And he did amazing art. Like, he was an incredibly talented artist. And I think one of the things that upsets me the most, and I think is so unfair, is that like he was really developing as like as a visual artist, and then he got sick, and then it was kind of like, you know, and then he could, and nothing ever happened with all his art. Like, he has all like, and we have this art like scattered like in the family and friends. It's some, I don't even know where all of it is anymore, like, because when he died, like, we had to, you know, like, we just lived in a small apartment. We just didn't have any place, and so we sort of like, you know, gave it to people. And so anyway, I'm not telling a very clear narrative.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, so my memories of him are this, like, you know, just this incredibly cool person. I'm not gonna say that he was like the best father in the world. He was kind of, you know, not very reliable. And looking back on it, like, I think about the things he kind of like said to me or exposed me to, I'm like, but I don't know. Like, I can forgive him for that, I guess. You know, like, but just like a really, really cool, amazing person. And he was always someone that could, he was a good listener, and he was very open-minded. And I just remember when I was like, you know, like I'm a little kid, and he's coming to Toronto from Northwestern Ontario, and he's taking me like for sushi, and he's taking me like to try like falafel with hot sauce, you know, and just like, and you know, he just encouraged me to be adventurous. And then he relocated to Toronto when I was 12, and he had this like the studio in Kensington Market. And I just remember, like, I would go up there, and I would just be like, And I, you know, I had to, at that point, a very sort of complicated relationship with my mother, and I was running away from home all the time. And he gave me his keys, and he would just be like, you know, you can come here when you need to. And we would, you know, and I would, and we would just like, and we would eat like cheese and bread and drink tea in his artist studio. And, you know, and I just remember like spending all this. Once again, like sometimes, like I think to myself, it's like maybe not the most appropriate. Like he used to take me dancing to the gay clubs when I was like 14, 15. You know, like, you know, I remember once like him taking me to see a movie, and then I couldn't get in because he asked for like a student, and but it was a restricted movie, and he's like, "But I'm her father," like, you know, just like little things like that. But when I think about like who I became as a person. Like, I know he had a big part in forming who I am and what's important to me and my values. And, you know, and as I said, the things that hurt and have kind of sort of kept me from talking about it was kind of like, that was that fear of sort of like, okay, like what's gonna, yeah, like, and even now still it's like, okay, like, is it, are there still people up north who are gonna be, you know, hear about this and be like, oh my God, I had no idea? And I don't think so at this point in time. I think it's, and I think, but there's this old part of me, I guess, that sort of still has that fear that speaking up somehow is gonna lead to some kind of, you know, issue with the family that I couldn't have foreseen. But I think I just need to put that aside. And as I said, like, I felt like I put his name to be on the memorial finally for this year for the first time. And I kind of like wondered, it's like, I wonder if people wonder why he's not there. Right. And it's like, it seems like it's just time to sort of make it right. And just to have the name. And then, yeah, I guess it's just part of going through it. And there's like, there's a lot more I could say that's, I guess, more sort of painful around the circumstances, you know, how hospital staff were back then. And because it was very different. Like, there was no understanding, you know. And I think about, I shouldn't say there was none, but my experience at the time was that there was very, very little sort of understanding of how things sort of impacted on families. Like, you know, like I remember, like, you know, the nurses sort of like gloving up just like to pass them a meal tray, like just like things like that. And I guess, and I know that comes out of their own fear and ignorance, but you know, at the time it was that was hard. And yeah, but maybe I should, I looking at the time, and I'm realizing I should probably reel in all my all my grief and loss, and not and just be in a better place. And I think, like, I don't know, I think, like, I wanted to, I guess, kind of maybe start like a bit of like a legacy making, you know. And as I said, just kind of like revisiting the memories, moving past the stuff that was really, really hurtful and isolating. And also, I just think, like, I would just really love to figure out a way to share his art, because his art is so beautiful, and everyone who sees it is always like, oh my God, like this should be like in, you know, the National Gallery. Like, he was a really fantastic artist. And I think this is just kind of like maybe like a first step in sort of trying to figure, you know, how to make that happen, or how to get him like the recognition for the talent that he had, and just like, and to kind of share that story of what it was like, you know, because I think it is part of our history, you know, here in Canada, around how we sort of managed the HIV/AIDS crisis, you know, and because, yeah, there's still a lot we could learn. So I think for now I'll leave it at that.